Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. For this October 10th, 2022, 10:05 on the clock, your host, James, here. I'm joined by my partner in sports, Randy Paul. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, James. Good morning, all.
We want to send a big shout-out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out, our sponsor for the show. Big thank you to our friends at Quality Plus Printing. Thank you so much. We're hoping to still be joined by GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Paul Peachman. Looking forward to coach joining us, hopefully either this hour or maybe sometime coming up. We will see. River Kings victorious over the weekend, for those that weren't able to catch it. They were in the Dells on Friday night, got that game won. And then came into town here on Saturday and victorious again. River Kings 8-1 over the Minnesota Moose.
Yeah, it was a struggle.
Playing a nice, playing a heck of a nice season so far. Really hit the ice running, and had a nice signing that's come up. So got a couple of things I want to talk with Coach about. Looking forward to when he joins us, whether it's today or in the future.
I know when we were over at the rec center a couple of weeks ago, and you were doing those interviews with the people, and I had a chance to go chat with Coach Peckman and his wife, and nice man, and said, boy, he'd just love to be able to chat with us any chance he gets the opportunity. So we're looking forward to him doing that with us. And 4-0, nice start to the season, right?
Yeah, can't complain. Yeah, and a shout out to everybody that's been able to make it to these games or caught the action on WisCountry 105.5, your home for the Wisconsin Rapids River Kings.
Yeah, I got a chance to talk to our announcer, Mark Lochner, the other night as well. He was at the Nakusa football game, and he's very excited about doing these River Kings games. We had a nice conversation about broadcasting hockey and the challenges and joys.
I imagine. It's got to be, I don't know how you could say this is the hardest game to call, as far as hockey, basketball, football, any of the above. I think that hockey might be the tougher one because oftentimes you're dealing with people that are listening that don't maybe know the game as well as basketball or football or baseball or something like along those lines. But I think you can make an argument of every sport of, well, this part is that what makes announcing hard on this job or et cetera, et cetera. But I really have a healthy, huge respect for hockey commentators. That is such a, your Doc Emmerichs, your guys that just make it seem so natural and so flawless, and yet it is anything but that.
One of the things we were talking about and the difficulty of hockey is, if you look down,
right,
that puck is hard to locate because not everybody is around the puck like it is in other sports, and you might see all of this action. All they're doing is changing a line. They aren't actually going after the puck.
Yeah.
The other thing that's difficult and is where the numbers are. Like, I remember being at Wausau West and going up there to Marathon Park, and they put you on the end of the rink. Mm. And so when Rapids is skating at you, or even if the Three Dubs is skating at you, they don't have numbers on the front.
Mm-hmm.
So you have no idea who it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that doesn't help.
Wow.
Yeah. Here comes, I don't know.
A big kid.
Yeah.
A big kid. I believe he's a good skater. I can tell you that. And he's got a hockey stick. I don't know after
and
that.
He's wearing a Rapids jersey.
Yeah. Well, you'll be able to know those players a lot better by listening to the games, not only on WisCountry and going to the arena. I certainly encourage you to do that. But we want you to be able to go, and why not go for free? We got a set of River Kings tickets we're going to give away in this hour.
Awesome.
Be listening for that. Your chance to win a pair of general admission tickets, so they're for any home game all season long. We will, of course, let you know how to win those in just a little bit. Listen for that during this hour, and get ready to call up. I mean, you can call up right now, 424-2600. Join us with your sports thoughts and feelings. Support your Kings as they build hockey up and down the river. You can get tickets right now by going to riverkingshockey.com. It's riverkingshockey.com. I want to talk baseball playoffs a little bit, and I also want to get into local high school stuff as well, Randy. But I thought we kind of have to start here with the Green Bay Packers. I don't know what is more divisive right now going on with the fan base, especially if you look at social media, because you got a lot of people who are kind of angry or confused or bent out of shape about them losing to the Giants the way they did, when you were 9-point favorites. This is noteworthy here because it is the let me see here. The Packers almost certainly will be a heavy favorite against the Jets when that comes up, but that was the case with the Giants too. They lost as a 9-point favorite, making it the biggest upset in the NFL to date this season and the Packers' worst loss since Week 13 of 2018. So those are both noteworthy things.
And also noteworthy is the Jets, who they play next week.
Yeah.
Just beat Miami 40-17.
Yeah, yeah.
So they can score.
New York football isn't what it was the last couple of years. It's a little bit better now. I think that you can assess. It is still early in the season. We're still a quarter of the season in. So there is that part to keep in mind as well with any teams, whether they're playing well or playing bad. But the things that stick are, I think of locker room stuff like a hamstring injury. You get a hamstring injury in week one, what have we seen, Randy? All season that's an issue. The guy might still be playing, but he ain't nearly what he was when that hamstring was healthy. It's a nagging injury. It's a lingering one. It's almost better for some athletes to have a clean break and be out for a month and then come back than have this lingering ankle issue or MCL joint tear or a pec tear like Russell Wilson's dealing with or some of these things. Or, I'm sorry, it's lat. So that's this to me, this situation that came out of the game in London and everything, the locker room stuff, this isn't the first, this is just some of the first we're hearing of it. This isn't the only time this has happened. By the time it gets to us, it's been an issue for weeks, if not longer than that.
I think one of the things I read about was Rodgers was already trying to deflect some of the talk that was coming out. I think it was Jair Alexander made the comment, this was one thing, but if we lose again next week, we're really in trouble or something like that.
Here it is for you in a nutshell for those that didn't catch it. They were interviewing the players after the game, and Jair Alexander, Pro Bowl, cornerback for them, was asked about the next week, and he said he wasn't worried about the defense despite its role in the second half meltdown that led to Green Bay's 27-22 loss in front of the pro Packers crowd at Tottenham Stadium. Quote, I ain't worried, but if we lose next week, then I'll be worried. Referencing to the Sunday's game against the New York Jets, which will be at Lambeau Field. Quote, but it's a new situation for everybody. New circumstances, sleep patterns. It's a whole adjustment here in London. So in his quote, in a whole, is that. And I don't think that there's much. I think he's doing kind of what we ask athletes to do. Hey, don't just give me the same old answer. Give me a real, genuine human answer. That's what he was trying to do there. He's a young man who's still learning how to work the media in some ways. But also, I think he was just trying to be genuine and give you a real answer. This didn't sit well with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers went up to the podium and couldn't wait to talk about this. Quote, frankly, I don't like all this conversation about losing next week, Rodgers said. I'm a firm believer in the power of words and manifestation, and we've got to check ourselves on that, because talking about this is not winning football. There was conversation about it in the locker room, and I don't like it. Ja's my guy, but we don't need to be talking like that. Most sports shows will do big deal, little deal, small deal. I don't want to steal that from them, so I'm using my own version of this. Is this Godfather 2, Godfather 1, or Godfather 3? Godfather 2, huge deal, big deal and all that. Godfather 1, not so big of a deal. Or Godfather 3, yes, what is it to you guys? I want to ask the fan base. We're in Packer country here. I want to hear from you guys what this is. I sat and caught a lot of the action after the game and stuff with some friends of mine. We were hanging out doing a draft, and all of them are Packer fans. So I know how they felt about it. I know what the media feels about this. I want to hear from you guys. That's the point of this show. It's for you guys to put your name on this, to hear from the actual fan base. Is this something you care about? Is this a big deal to you? Or is this just, hey, not everybody gets along, or not everybody's always on the same page. We can still win this way. Because I'm curious, because you guys have a winning football team. You have a team that's, has a chance to go to the Super Bowl and win this whole thing. So how is your fan base feeling? 424-2600. I'll go to the Packer fan in the room here first. Randy, was this any deal to you at all or no?
Well, you look at the whole article, and if you grasp a little part of it, which is what sometimes bulletin board fodder is.
Yeah.
The Jets are like, oh, if we lose next week to them, then we got problems. It's like, what? Like, you don't have a worry about us, you know?
Right.
We just put up 40 points, and you're not concerned about us? Football, you don't think we can beat you?
Yeah, because football players are one thing, but every football coach in the world, I don't care if they're doing Pop Warner or they're Nick Saban, looks for those that little bit of just anything they can use to motivate their guys. I guarantee you, I promise you, that Schlereth, I think, I can't think of his name, it's S something.
Oh, yeah.
The Jets head coach. Sella, thank you. He's got this up there already. Start as soon as they come into the training today, this week, that's going to be up there on their bulletin boards. I guarantee you it will be.
And I'm sure that's what Rodgers was alluding to. You know, just all you got to do is take anything, and it doesn't have to be, you know, just pull it out of context, and that'll be on the bulletin board. And they can make it sound like we don't have to worry about the Jets, right? And of course, you know, that's always worrisome when you've got some divisiveness in the locker room and not everything's going to be hunky-dory, but jeepers, didn't the Rams lose yesterday to Dallas, and aren't they like 2-2?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they maybe did okay last year, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
They won, like, the Super Bowl?
I believe that's how. Yeah. Let me double check. And they won the Super Bowl.
I mean, so it's not going to be perfect at for any team except if you're the Eagles right now, and they almost lost, so.
Twice, and 2 weeks in a row they've almost lost and had to come back, so yeah.
It's so tough to win the NFL. I think a couple of things that are a little bit concerning are the fact that several games now the Packers have just not done well in the second half. You know, I don't think they gave up. Well, they didn't score. Yesterday the Giants took the safety at the end. Otherwise, they didn't score in the second half again. And that's just been a pattern that's very worrisome.
We'll get to the caller in a second. I didn't mean to cut you off, okay. Randy, if you had something else. One of the things that I noticed over the weekend, going back to last Thursday's game with Denver and Indianapolis, and God help you if you made it through that whole game. Like, if you were able to make it through that whole game, you are one of the biggest football fans in the world.
Somebody said that one should have been played in London because all they do is kick the ball.
Right, yeah. I haven't seen this a whole lot in his career, but Russell Wilson was getting pass after pass batted down by defensive linemen. And then I saw it with Kyler Murray. I saw it with Baker Mayfield. I'm like, okay, well, these are 6-foot quarterbacks. But then you see it happening to Aaron Rodgers. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute here. I don't know if I've ever seen more over a week of football, that happened more. That's something that, to me, is that's more alarming to me than what's going on in the locker room. I'd rather get that settled and figured out. I want my receivers to be on my same page. I'm more worried about that than I am any of this other stuff. But it's noteworthy, and let's hear from you guys. Let's go ahead and go to the fan base here. Good morning. You're on Playmakers.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hope you guys are having a great day so far.
Sun shining.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm just glad we didn't have to talk James off the ledge today with the Bears losing.
Oh, jeez. Yeah,
the Badgers kicking the snot out of Northwestern. I'm just really glad that we... that you were able to come into work today and we had to talk you off the ledge.
Thank you. Nobody else has given me credit for doing my job today. Nobody. How are you feeling about this?
Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit Packers, but you have to go to the Badger game a little bit.
Oh,
but,
sure.
After a tough loss like that, you shove a microphone in a guy's face.
Mm.
I think sometimes the emotion is there too much still. And they're going to blow off some steam, and that's where I'm looking at this. I think LaFleur has a pretty good job of keeping that locker room, you know, cohesive, and all that. I mean, I just think the yesterday afternoon, the play calling in the second half, I think to me that's what lost the game to him. You know, he had. Dylan and Jones just running, you know, they were getting 5-6 yards a carry.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you all of a sudden decide to let Rodgers throw, you know, 20 times in the second half?
You know what it reminds
me? 30 times in the second half.
Didn't it remind you of the Vikings game where they went away from the run game and then the next week they went back to it against the Bears, I believe?
That's what I was thinking.
And I got a feeling they're going to do the same thing next week against the Jets because they abandoned it. There was one time when they had the ball for like 12 seconds in one of their series. They threw it 3 times downfield, 20 yards, not even close to a reception, and we put the defense right back on the field. And then you kind of wonder why they're giving up points. Well, they're getting tired.
Yeah, you know, and then, you know, like you were talking about the ball being passed down. Well, after a while, you start, dinking and dunking the defense. I mean, these guys aren't dumb guys.
Yep.
You know, they're going to start jumping up and getting their hands up and knocking the ball down. But I guess I'm going to shift gears here a little bit because it's almost kind of the same, a little bit the same way with Wisconsin and how things happen there. Is now, as you look and how well they played, yes, on Saturday, fired up like they were. I mean, they played four quarters of football. What, you know, where do we go on this one? Did Paul Chris really hold these guys back? You know, I mean, that offense, I mean, that was a totally different offense compared to what it was.
It really was.
The whole season.
Yeah.
You know, you see Jim Leonard jumping around on the sidelines on both offense and defense, giving guys high five. And what, you know, sometimes what do you see Chris doing? He's bent over with his hands on his knees.
It really, the actual gameplay and as far as the game calling goes, it was hard not to see a difference there. That part is really noteworthy. But I really think a lot of that energy has a lot to do with it, too. And just a new voice, a new place. I don't want to take anything from Coach Leonard. If you listen to me for 5 seconds on this show, you know what I think of that man. I have the ultimate respect for him. I would hire him right now to coach my football team. Not just defense, coach my football team. And that's before this past Saturday. But that he brings, I mean, most of us watched his whole playing career from college to pros. This is who he is. This has always been him. His last year with Baltimore, whatever, he was still knocking guys out of games and stuff. I mean, there's no way he had a leg to stand on as a strong athlete. He was hurt most his last year and was still playing hurt and all this. He's one of these guys. He eats, sleeps, and breathes this sport. So I don't think it's always one of these things where, oh, that coach was bad and we had to get rid of him. I think it's more along the lines sometimes of, it's nothing against the coach, it's just the voice got old. I will always think of this the rest of my life. Coach Quinville in Chicago with the Blackhawks. Won three Stanley Cups with the Blackhawks. Nobody is saying that he's not a Hall of Fame coach. He's not a great coach. It's just his voice. Same old speech, you know, year after year, the same old kind of voice. Literally, just the sound of his voice can get people to tune out because they've been listening to it for over and over with a Coach Christ, especially if you're not a guy who is that, you know, jumping and exuberant and everything. It can get a little bit, you know, tough on to keep that voice going in the locker room.
Yeah, you know what, it's at that level, I think, I mean, even at the pro level, you almost have to have a guy that can, you know, be jump around a little bit because, I mean, that just, I think the guys respect that more. If you're just going to sit there with your hands on your knees and, you know, not stick up for them and really kind of, you know, show them that you are in the game, they're not going to want to play. And it just, this year, it just seemed like that's where Chris was, that he just, it didn't seem like he was motivated.
I'll tell you this. I had no problem in my lifetime, probably the best Chicago Bear coach I've seen, because I didn't really see Dicka very much. It was more towards the end. I came in very late in his life, even though I got to see him in the Super Bowl and all that. And I think that a lot of Dicka's career can be thanked to Buddy Ryan. So I look at that his career a little differently. But Lovie Smith was probably the best coach I've seen as a Chicago Bear fan. And I couldn't wait for Lovie to go. Not because he wasn't a good coach, not because he wasn't somebody I actually genuinely root for. I even root for him in Houston right now. It was on the sidelines. There was a point in the Bear-Packer rivalry where it was him and McCarthy or him and where you could look on either sideline and have no idea what the score of the game was. Because whether the Bears were up by 30 or they were down by 30, same look on Lovie's face. And some players like that consistency. But the majority of football players, they need that Ditka type coach. They need that guy who's losing her mind or at the very least engaged. You know, just being engaged on the sidelines is important. My friends and I were talking about this yesterday. If I was a head football coach, I would have no interest in hiring somebody that wants to be up in the booth calling the game, an offensive or defensive coordinator. I want them on the ground level. I want my defensive coordinator to be able to hear his linebackers if they're over-breathing or not, if they're out of breath, if he needs to make substitutions and things like that. I want them on the ground. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's the ghost of Buddy Ryan. I wouldn't hire him to be my defensive coordinator if they want to be up in the booth. there's certain things about football in particular that I feel like you've got to literally be right there in real time.
And that's what they did. You know, they have brought Ingram down out of the booth and had him on the field because, I mean, Jim Leonard said that, you know, he's an offensive guy, but I want him down on the field. I'm not going to make, you know, I'm not going to make those calls. Going from here on out, there's a lot of names being thrown around for him, you know, for the Paul Chris's replacement. You know, they're talking about the coach at Kansas, possibly coming back to Wisconsin because he was at Whitewater at one point. There's a couple other names being thrown out there, but why not? I mean, you let Jim take this team on, because if you don't let him take it on, there's going to be someone else going to be coming really pushing for him.
He's going to take another job, probably somewhere local, somewhere close. So it'll be a team probably in the Big Ten, and it'll be a team that you got to face every year, and you're going to be going up against Jim Leonard. And every year you're going to be facing that as you have a Gary Anderson as coach or something like that and everything. It wasn't that long ago that Wisconsin's head coaching job was in flux. You had these issues where you didn't know who was going to be there year in and year out and that kind of thing. Coach Christ gave you security, gave you consistency, gave you something that you could hang your hat on. I know he wasn't the coach that everybody wanted him to be in some ways. Everybody wants their university to make it to the college playoffs and things like that. But, man, the bar that is set at Wisconsin football is a good one, considering the rest of the country, the way some of their football programs are. Look at UCLA right now and some programs like that where they can't even fill the stands, even if they have a legitimately decent team or a couple of talented kids.
You know, I think one thing that's interesting, and we've talked about it on the show before, is how some people are not meant to be CEOs, but they're good at their job as as they manage part of the corporation. And I think we've talked about that with Jim Leonard, too. We've always thought that he would be a person that might make a great head coach, but maybe he's the type of person that loves being a defensive coordinator and doesn't want to be head coach. And he said, well, looking at the situation now, and it sounds like he did a great job over the week, everything I've read and heard. But it'll be interesting to see what happens now over the next several weeks as he's the full-time head coach, even though he's interim. But he has to deal with all of these other issues besides just working with his defense. And maybe after about 6 or 7 weeks of this, he'll say, you know what? Maybe this is why I am a defensive coordinator, and I will not go somewhere else to be a head coach. Or he could look at it and say, you know what? I do like this, and this is something new, and it's something I can build off of, and I'll go with that. So I think the next several weeks are going to make a huge difference whether or not he wants to stay.
Totally agree.
Yeah, it was interesting. We got a chance to talk to Matt LaPay last week and everything, and Matt was talking about this game, and it was before it was right after the firing and stuff, and talking about this, and he's on the same page as the 99% of the fan base, where you guys are all in on Coach Leonard, and rightfully so. I think that the hesitancy comes to, you have a different AD now, and is McIntosh going to be the kind of AD that wants to bring his... just hearing from Wisconsin fans over the weekend, what I heard was now the fear of, we're going to lose Coach Leonard because this guy wants to bring in his own people and doesn't want to necessarily use Alvarez's people. I push back on that Coach McIntosh is Alvarez people. Like, he was literally recruited and all that by Coach Alvarez and stuff. That you can't be any more an Alvarez guy than a guy who was literally brought into the university because of all that. He's made it very clear that he is thankful to have Alvarez there and have him as a sponge to kind of learn, or be a sponge to learn from him and all these things. I actually don't think you could ask for a better AD than a local guy and a guy who has this instilled already in him while also bringing in his own stuff. I think he's taken a black eye because Wisconsin doesn't do this. Wisconsin doesn't fire a coach midseason. They just never do this, but it's a new day. In today's NCAA football, it is minor level pro football. Now, I think most of us have understood this our whole lives, but now they're saying the quiet part out loud now. Now they're saying, hey, these kids, these 17, 18-year-olds and stuff that are risking their lives for us for free, now we're going to be honest about it. Since they're getting NIL money, not money from the universities, but getting this, quote-unquote paycheck now, where everybody assumes every college athlete is getting this, which is also insane, So now it's all out in the open. Now we're going to be honest about it. Yeah, it's minor league football, basically, everybody. With that being said, now you really have to jump on this coaching search. You don't have time. Look at, I mean, you're Nebraska and you're getting on this. You're Arizona State and getting on this. What is Wisconsin going to do? I mean, that's a whole different ballgame. So especially if you've got the talent in-house, find out what you got.
And do you think, you know, realistically, are the Badgers ever going to be a contender for a national championship? When you look at what goes on in the SEC and what goes on over by Michigan and Ohio State, unless things drastically change, you know, now you'd be bringing in USC and UCLA, and I'm sure they're going to come into the Big Ten West, is my opinion, mm-hmm. and that Purdue will go over to the East, and that way you'll have seven in each conference. Mm. So are the expectations realistic that we're going to, or are we going to be just happy to be 7-4, 8-8 mm-hmm. you know, eight mm-hmm. and 5? I guess that's the next question.
Yeah.
Well, and I think down the road, I think Wisconsin may have a chance, because if they expand the playoffs like they're talking, they may have that chance of getting to that national championship, because, you know, what happens when they get to the playoffs? Get to the playoffs. The hottest team, you know, they talk about the hottest team, who's playing well and all that stuff. So, you know, and then you sit there and you think, you know, do they need to bring, you know, everybody's like, oh, let's go get Urban Meyers now. Do you want that circus?
Oh, my God. Jeez.
You know, do you want to get a guy, you know, that, I mean, like you said, the coach, I can't even think of his name right now, Kansas, he was at Whitewater. Look what he did at Whitewater. Do you want to bring in someone like that? Or, I don't know.
Yeah,
It's
a good debate. It's really, and I mean, we're going to find out. We're going to see how this team responds. Was it 1 week? Is it going to continue this way? Wisconsin's got a favorable schedule going forward here, really. They're playing Michigan State next week. That could be a good one. Purdue the week after that, Maryland, then Iowa, then Nebraska, and they wrap up with Minnesota at home for the Paul Bunyan. So really, that Minnesota game is the one that I'm eyeballing. Iowa may be a little bit difficult. We'll see how Michigan State goes, but there's no reason they should lose the rest of those other games.
Iowa's really been struggling. Michigan State got, you know, they've been struggling as well. But it'll be interesting because Northwestern's really been struggling. So
yeah.
To see if this was just a 1 week wonder, if this is going to be some improvement as we continue forward, that'll be interesting to watch as well.
Iowa and Illinois played a baseball game yesterday. Did you see that score? 9-6 or whatever that was.
Iowa's been in all games like that all year.
Yeah, yeah.
Struggling.
Well, you know, and the thing is, you know, if you look at it, like, okay, now say they go down to Michigan State and they lose, but if they lose to like a last second field goal, or they lose by seven, yeah. but they played well, then you can't really say, you know, that was only a 1 week wonder. But if they go down there and they just lay the biggest egg around, then you have to sit there and say, well, yeah, that Northwestern, were they that bad, or they were just playing off the emotions too much, you know, that way? And
I really feel like. You know, that it's so oftentimes the devil you know. You know, the one that you know is much better. You can bring in the most popular, most sought after assistant coach or a NFL coach that lost his job or something like that into this job. And yeah, that's great. But you've got, again, a candidate right there. Why not? I'm not even talking about, I say you rip the interim off of this and go ahead and make him the head coach and just see what you got. It's so different in college. It's not the pro game. In the pro game, I ain't got to worry about loyalty. It's all paycheck. It all comes down to the money. I can maybe get guys in if I can offer them enough, and maybe a little more money than the other guy or something like that. In college football, it's all about you're asking these kids to be loyal. You're asking these kids to give you their word of mouth and give you their, oh, this recruit, he's definitely going to sign here. He's definitely not going to go in, and we lost him. You know, he saw that Coach Chris is gone, and he's gone.
The other thing that worries you, though, is the transfer portal nowadays, too.
Yeah.
That they can say, yep, I'm all aboard, and then they come in, and off they go the next year, too.
Say you bring in
which I think one kid did it hit that already. I think the backup quarterback Hill.
Yeah.
I thought I saw that he did that out yesterday or whatever.
So these are all factors going forward as college football fans to think of. Always appreciate the call, sir. Thanks for calling up.
All right, you guys have a great week.
No, you too.
You too. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little local sports, get into some high school football in that, and we'll talk a little baseball playoffs probably. Get into all that when we come back on Playmakers, which is brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers, which is brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Big good morning to all of our friends over there. We're going to get into some local sports in a moment for Randy Paul, but first let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on Playmakers.
Yeah, good morning. I was really happy to see the Padres win and also to see the Phillies win. They beat the Cardinals. I hated those Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even though I do like those older guys.
Randy and I are going to get into some MLB playoffs in just a little bit, so we'll talk more about this then. But I'm with you about the Phillies beating the Cardinals. I think that was the only thing I was rooting for in all the playoffs. Since none of my local teams are in this, I don't really have anybody in the race here. So all I'm rooting for was the Cardinals not to win. And that so the playoffs are already going to be fun for me because the one thing I wanted to have happen already happened. So
yeah, I got one bombshell I want to drop on you.
All right.
I don't think Yelich is one of our top-notch outfielders. He's a good one, but probably not first place or second, especially if we sign Renfro back there.
Mm-hmm.
And we got millions of dollars tied up in him. He's not as good as what Braun's deal was.
Yeah.
I want to see us trade Yelich for a top-notch catcher. We haven't had a top-notch catcher in 6 or 7, 8 years now.
I think that's not a bad idea at all. Obviously, I think it's a really good idea, but I don't think it's going to happen. It's hard to move that contract. I will say this: if you're a Brewer fan, that every day that contract becomes less and less like absurd because of the other absurd contracts that are being given out and everything.
Right? Yeah, I know what you mean. There's a whole lot of guys getting a lot more than he is, but
just think: if you had a top-notch catcher, would you trade him for Christian Yelich?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a really good point
about his fielding,
too. If you had two catchers that were really decent, maybe you would. But,
sure, yeah. Well, look, I mean, there are plenty of bad GMs out there that will fall for trades all the time, or just a trade that works out. Maybe it's a thing where they could use another. If Yelich's fielding is going to go, I mean, he might be a fine DH. Who knows? There are people out there that you might be able to make a deal with. I don't think it's unheard of. It's just going to be really hard to pull off. You've got to have the perfect situation, players, all that.
Right. And the other
cap
thing is,
space.
But I don't have the batting averages in front of me, but I wouldn't doubt that Yelich ended up in the top five of the Brewers' batting averages of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I still believe he's struggling with that back. I still think that's an issue. So.
Just hasn't been the same since.
He's a great guy, too.
We got guys coming up that are going to be pretty good. 2021 draft, Cal Freerich.
Freerich.
He's batting .330 in AAA. So
I seen that kid. He looks great, and I'm glad you said the name and I didn't, sir. Because I've been struggling with his name.
Yeah. Well, it's always interesting to see how that translates from AAA to the major leagues. You just never know.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't, but.
Yep.
Look at Mitchell. Mitchell was doing good, and he's doing great here. He's going to be our number one outfielder in years to come. He's going to be the number one in years to come.
At least it gives you hope, right?
Yeah. I always appreciate the call, sir.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining
us. Thank you.
Have a great day. Thank you. Keep on calling up, everybody, 424-2600, and keep listening for your chance to win some River Kings tickets. That'll be happening between now and 11. But, Randy, I want to put a focus on local sports. And while Randy does an amazing job collecting data over the weekend for the most up-to-date stuff, I do want to rewind for a second because I can't help myself, Randy. The Lincoln-Marshfield football game that took place 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my goodness, huh?
I think that might be the game of the year, man. That was a really good game. That was fun.
They were down by 7. They came back, got a touchdown to tie it up, and then they got the ball with about 5 minutes left. They drive length of the field. Oh, and then they throw the pass. I believe it was to Connor Bubals, and he gets stopped at the 2-yard line. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
You know how this usually turns out when you get stopped at the 2-yard line? You're like, if he only would have got in. But nope, they played it really smart. They used their timeouts well. And their kicker, of course, has already made a 49-yard field goal. He just blasted that thing through the uprights like he was a pro. My goodness.
That kid's a linebacker dressing as a kicker. And the way he kicked that ball through, I still don't think I've ever seen a field goal just be shot through
like
the goal line.
Cannon.
Yeah. This is great. So that was a great game.
Yeah, that was a huge win, too, because it just put all three teams between themselves, 3-Dubs and Marshfield, into that three-way tie for first, which they all sit at right now.
Can be tough, especially with younger people, to keep that momentum going when you put so much into one weekend. The next weekend got to do it all over again, but didn't really see any dip.
No letdown at all, right?
Yeah.
And then you think about Marshfield, I thought, oh boy, they lost to Rapids. Now what's going to, and they ended up falling behind Spash 14-0 after quarter number one. You're like, oh my goodness. But that they turned it around too. Well, should we talk about that now?
Yeah, let's dive right in.
Okay, so Rapids wrapped up a share of the conference crown because they've got the Wausau East bye this week, so they're going to be playing Menominee in a non-conference game. Leo Brostowicz rushed for 224 yards, 4 touchdowns. They throttled Appleton West. No letdown, 48-0. Marshfield, they trailed 14-0 after the first period, but then they outscored Spash 49-7.
Wow.
Yeah, so they win at 49-21. 3-Dubs stays tied for first as they scored the game's only points in the fourth quarter, early in the fourth quarter, as they beat the Polar Bears of Hortonville 7-0. And Everest got the forfeit from Wausau East. So that's the Valley. CWC Small, Nick Lieberg, he outdid Leo. He rushed for 302 yards.
My God. My goodness. He's still tired.
Assumption ran for 523 yards. I don't think they attempted a pass. I think Jack Platt was still out, and Joey Moyer was playing quarterback for him. They wrapped up, whooped up on Webster 55-0, way up in Webster. They traveled 4-some hours to clobber them. iScan scored 13 fourth-quarter points. Still wasn't enough as they fall to Pacelli 19-13. And Loyal had an easy time with Assumption's next opponent, Rosholt, 44-12. Now, Assumption and Rosholt, they'll meet this Thursday at Southwood County 2000 Field here in Wisconsin Rapids. A few other local scores. In a game you heard on our sister station, WIRI, Nakusa, Shiocton, they were scoreless after one, but then the Chiefs scored 2 touchdowns in each of the final 3 quarters on their way to a 41-0 win. Dylan Luther rushes for 110 yards to lead Pittsfield past Marathon 36-6. Auburndale suffers its first loss of the season, but if you're going to lose a semi, how about Edgar? And final score, only a touchdown, 21-14. And in 8-man football, wow, another great game. Timmy Tranel passes for 223 yards and 5 touchdowns, and he rushed for 192 yards and a touchdown.
Man.
So he's responsible for 6 touchdowns and almost, 400-some-odd yards of total offense. They annihilate Almond Bancroft 52-30. Boys soccer, Lincoln is now 16-1-1.
Wow.
Are they having a season or what?
Yeah.
They won 3 more this last week. They stopped Spash 6-3, and they also blanked Wausau East and Appleton East by identical 8-0 scores. Nakusa split a couple of 1-0 home games. They lost to Mauston, and then they beat the Watoma Wild Rose Co-op. Girls volleyball, Saturday at the Wisconsin Valley Tournament. Wisconsin Rapids lost to Merrill and Wausau West 3-0. Assumption lost a tight one in 5 sets to Newman. Game 5 went to 16-14. Right down to the wire there. Port Edwards lost at Tri-County 3-1, but they won at Tigerton 3-2. Nakusa defeated Mauston at home 3-0, and Pittsfield also won at home over Wild Rose 3-0. So those are some of the fun local things that took place besides our River Kings now improving to 4-0 with a 7-3 win on Friday at the Dells Ducks. And then, of course, on WIRI with Mark Lochner, they got an easy win on Saturday, 8-1 at the Rec Center.
Great weekend for high school athletics, especially as we're getting closer to the end of the regular season and the playoff picture starting to develop a little bit more. I have to say, I've really been enjoying Lincoln football this year. Obviously, I'm a homer, and I'm going to root for that team and stuff. But this Assumption team, what little bit I've been able to see, there's aspects of it that remind me, and I'm going to really be dating myself, but this goes back to my senior, my high school class, and Marks and Neville. And they had that running tandem of Ryan Marks and J.R. Neville and that, and just seemed like anybody, if one of them wasn't on, the other one was. And they just always had somebody who could at least do this. A much farther example is the Jones and Dylan situation right now in Green Bay. And I know yesterday wasn't a great example of that, but usually it's, who do you pick your poison? Like, who do you want to get destroyed by, the quad father or the guy who runs like a literally like Giannis, but with a more built built smaller body. I haven't seen many running backs make the cut that Aaron Jones makes or with the speed that he does. I haven't seen many people that love to run you over like A.J. Dillon, you know? Having that tandem of that double running game where one guy's going to be on at the very least, if nothing else.
There was one play yesterday. They needed like third and two, and Jones runs to the left, and it's just blocked up. He just cut sideways at about 90 degrees and burst through the hole on the right side, got the first down. And you know what? It wasn't their fault. Yeah. Because they just didn't give him the ball in the second half very much, and they rushed combined for probably over 100 some odd yards. But that's the other thing that's interesting. You mentioned Ryan Marks. I was just thinking about him the other day. He was such a great special teams player for the Badgers, and I was just thinking that as I was watching the Badger game and going, oh man, remember Ryan Marks from Rapids doing that?
That's funny.
Funny you bring that up.
That is very funny. Yeah. I feel bad, Randy. You've been sharing too much time with me, it's going to be really fun to see how this develops. It's a fun year this year.
You're thinking Rapids and Assumption both probably have home games, so that'll be interesting to see how that seeding comes out and where they'll be put and how that'll play out. So we're looking forward to that because that's going to come out soon here. End of the 9-week football season, high school football season, already this Friday.
It always goes too darn quick.
It's crazy.
Of course, tomorrow on our station here at 7:05, we'll have the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. Join us for that. Coach Granato, a great talker, great conversation there. And then Thursday at 6:05, the Jim Leonard radio show, Wisconsin of course, football coach.
Feels so good.
Did anybody else just feel good seeing Coach Leonard on the sidelines in that position? Like, it's so cool to see. I saw him his whole college career, saw him his whole pro career, and now you're seeing him doing this. It's just kind of full circle, really cool to see. I'm really rooting for him. I really hope it works out. His show will be on our airwaves this Thursday at 6:05. And on Friday on our sister station, WIRI, Nakusa hosting Wittenberg-Burnham.
Should be
a good one.
Yep, that should be fun. Wittenberg and Burnham, good squad this year. They lost a couple of tough games. They lost a tough one to Amherst earlier in the year. So, they're a good ball club. That'll be fun to watch.
It should be a back and forth one, it looks like. It should be definitely one of the games to watch this weekend in high school sports. And that game will be on our sister station at 6:50. Our pregame will kick off. Join Randy on the call for that one. Don going to run the board. A big shout out to both of you. And a big thank you to Pam getting us the schedule. This weekend, Saturday, you're home of the Wisconsin Badgers right here as we'll be having that game. Our coverage will start at 1, Badgers at Michigan State to take on these Spartans.
Yeah, they got spanked a little bit this weekend. They've really struggled this year, Michigan State has.
Yeah.
Did they lose to Ohio State this last week, I think
it was? Yeah, bad too. And it looked like it was going to be a game at first.
49-20.
Yeah, at first it looked like, I think up until the halftime even, it was close. And then, all the wheels fell off, and then who knows?
Yeah.
Randy, I want to take some time to talk a little bit of MLB, the Major League Baseball playoffs, of course, went into high gear over the weekend.
Wasn't that interesting? Now they added that extra wild card team.
Yeah.
So there's 6 playoff teams. So the top 2 teams ended up with byes, and then the other 4 matched up. And the team with the best record got all 3 home games.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
And, well, nice. You don't have to travel. Keep going back and forth since it's only 3 games. And you get rewarded, for having the better record. So I thought that was kind of a cool way to do it.
So looking at the standings, just for those that aren't caught up, as we are getting into the next division round playoffs over, you've got the Cleveland against the New York Yankees. And in the other set of that, you've got Seattle against Houston. You have Philly taking on Atlanta and San Diego taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers.
So if we talk a little bit about all those first series, right? Phillies win 2 straight on the road at the Cardinals, which I don't think anybody saw coming.
No.
6-3, 2-0.
Especially they just squeaked into the playoffs, Philly. Yeah.
Cleveland, they win 2 in a row over Tampa Bay, 2-1, and then 1-0 in 15 innings. They got that walk-off run to win that series.
Exciting game.
Seattle Mariners, they go on the road to the Blue Jays. They win 2-0.
Yeah.
Boy, that big come from behind that second game. I it was funny because before I left the house on Sunday, I did not see what happened Saturday night. Before I left the house on Sunday, it's like, I think the Mariners are trailing 9-4.
Yeah,
they get like a run, and I'm like, I got to get going. I'm not going to watch this. They're going to lose it anyway.
Yeah.
And then I look later and see they came back and won 10-9. They got like 6 runs in the last 2 innings or something like that.
Almost the same thing happened to me. The same thought process, too. Oh, that's cool. They got a run, but they're probably not going to come back.
I don't have time for this.
Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious.
And then the only game that went 3 you know, the only series that won three games was the Padres and the Mets. And, of course, you want both of those teams to lose.
Right. Yeah.
After what New York did to us, we didn't want the Mets to win.
No.
But how about that performance last night by Joe Musgrove? One hitter through eight innings. And guess who came on to get the final three outs? Josh Hader.
Yeah. All of our attention, and rightfully so, was on the DeGrom-Scherzer matchup. Mm-hmm. And thinking, well, New York could really make a run here with those two. And especially right. in a shorter series where you can go... And I actually don't. The manager over there, Buck Showalter, is taking a lot of heat for not playing DeGrom or you know, and that movement. Oh, I don't know. There's just some weeks it's not. You don't have it. You just don't. I don't think that team really. I mean, when you slug into the playoffs like they did, I didn't really see them as a contender anyway, even with Scherzer and DeGrom.
But you see Scherzer giving up seven runs and four home runs.
No, that's unheard of. That was weird.
You know, and it's kind of when he was mentioning those two, it made me think of how. We were thinking the Brewers' chances were pretty good if we got in the playoffs with Burns and Woodruff, you know, mm-hmm. because you got two guys right there. If you're in a three-game series, you're thinking, here we go, right?
But yeah.
It's no guarantees, is it?
Good morning. You're on Playmakers.
Hey, playoffs.
What's that?
I said the playoffs.
Yeah. Playoffs are crazy.
And a team that really... bothers me is that Cleveland team, boy, they got some power.
Yeah. And nobody, I think out of all the teams that are in the playoffs left, they're the team that's been talked about the least. I think they're the team that we're most people have been taking lightly. If you haven't seen, like, Cleveland's in my division, so I've seen them a lot. But if they're not, you haven't seen them a lot this year, just kind of like, who's on that team again? Who's their coach? You know, and that coach, wait a minute, isn't that the guy that won with Boston? Isn't that the guy, you know, and all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute, okay. Maybe Cleveland, and Cleveland does this.
The Guardians, what league, what sport are we
talking
about?
Right, what sports is it? Gary, always good to talk to you, sir. Thanks for the call.
You guys have a good day.
You too. We still got a couple minutes left if you want to call up 424-2600.
So we've got eight teams left, right?
Yeah.
Do you see one or two teams that you like to see that, you know, not that you want them to see them win, but I mean that you feel will win?
I'm rooting for the Mariners. Just because we haven't seen them in the playoffs in so long.
Okay.
So if I'm picking a lane, I'd probably pick that one. But I think that it's hard pressed to not see the Yankees making it all the way. As good as Houston has been, I feel like that's going to be corrected. And it's hard not to picture the Dodgers in this whole thing, even though Atlanta is one of those teams similar to St. Louis that just scares you all the time, even when they don't have a full team. Good morning, you're on Playmakers.
Good morning, fellas. How are we doing?
Well, how are you?
Pretty good. Vikings won, Packers lost, Bears lost. Everything's good.
Yep. So you're happy. You're the one person in the state happy today. You're the. What do you got for us today?
Well, I got a Bryson Stott update. He did play. I had four at bats, three walks, and one strikeout for the Phillies, who are moving on. So I've got to keep rooting for Bryson.
Right.
Yep.
And. I have a suggestion for the Cleveland team. I'm sure Gary would agree. We should loan out Bob Uecker and have him call some Cleveland games.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes. Oh,
perfect.
That's a good idea. Now that's a good idea. I love that. Oh, how great would that be? I bet you'd be up for it too. I bet you'd do it. You know, Uecker. I bet he'd
just
do that.
A bit outside.
Just to hear him say that line. If I was a pitcher and Uecker was calling my game, I'd throw at least once a game. I'd throw a ball way outside just so that he would have to say it.
We'll catch you guys later.
Yeah, thanks
for the call, bud. Thank you so much.
I was just thinking about that poor. Justin Fields had that nice run, and then they got it called back. I don't know if you saw that sack at the end of the game of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You know, remember when Clay Matthews sacked the Vikings, and it probably was Cousins. Maybe it was a different quarterback back then already. I can't remember who the quarterback for the Vikings was. And they called roughing the passer on him, and he intentionally did not fall on him.
Yeah.
We had an interception, but it got called back. Yeah. We ended up losing that game. As soon as he got tackled, I said to my wife, oh, they're going to call a penalty on that because it's Tom Brady. And they showed that play multiple times, and it's just like, really? How did you get roughing the quarterback? He got tackled. He just got tackled. He didn't fall on. He had to turn him over. They made a great comment because if you don't complete that tackle, you know, by rolling over, you know, these guys are so athletic, they stay up on their feet and then they continue scrambling, throw it downfield. What are you supposed to do? He just tackled them. Didn't fall on them. He didn't whip them to the ground. It's just like, yep, they're going to call roughing the passer because it's Tom Brady. And for all you conspirators out there, mm-hmm. you're just going to go, there we go.
This is how you kill the golden goose,
mm-hmm.
doing these, the death of a thousand cuts. It's not just one big change. It's not just one big thing. It's if I'm the NFL or if I have stock in the NFL, these things worry me as they pile up more and more. Baseball didn't start out as everybody saying it was boring. No, it didn't. That's not the way it was. It was our pastime. It was all that. But little by little, you make this change. You make that change. You become a little less loose with the rules. You know what? If as a pitcher, if you want to stand up for an hour to adjust yourself and to call off this sign, call off this sign, go ahead. You take all the time you want. Do you need a nap? Go ahead and take one. It's okay. Because our fan base is always going to be there. I mean, who could see a world where people wouldn't show up to baseball games? Of course they're going, oh, wait a minute. What's happening to our attendance numbers? What's happening to our TV numbers? What's happening? Oh, my God. And before they know it, they've got a crisis on their hands, and they're trying to save their sport. This could happen to football. Like, don't think it couldn't. I mean, it sounds far-fetched right now, but it sounded far-fetched to baseball fans back in the day when I was a kid, and look where they are now.
When you start seeing a lot of phantom calls, and yep. you know how much money there is being wagered on this sport, you start to get very concerned.
It isn't as if it's not already a difficult watch for many people. I've grown up around violence, both in my personal life and the sports that I watch. I grew up watching my dad get his face beat in as a boxer and a hockey player. I mean, I'm very numb to this stuff. The Tua play, I never seen anything like that in my life.
Oh.
I've never seen anything like that. And it's been stuck with me since this season. Like, anytime I see a player, I'll admit this. I don't want it to happen to anybody, but especially players I like, and I see them take a nasty hit or something, and I'm looking immediately, not for the flag anymore, which is what I usually do, but that, looking to see if they're hurt or anything. And speaking of the flag thing, Randy, I can't be the only person like this. When's the last time you watched a really cool play happen, a huge play happen, and what's your first instinct? Not to high-five your friends or anything like that. Was there a flag? Was there a flag?
When the Packers played Tampa Bay and they got that and they stopped the two-point conversion, we sat there looking at each other going, it's coming.
Yep.
They're going to call interference. Yeah. You know, well, fortunately, it was tipped by Devondre.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we're thinking they probably would have called interference on that one, too. You get very, you know, even when I go to games, as soon as a play is made, I look back in the backfield. You're looking around for a flag, you know, because you're just concerned that there's that in the back of your mind always.
They got to be careful. That's how the goose gets cooked right there, is by the death of a thousand cuts, these little things, little by little, and everything. Did you have anything you wanted to wrap up on? Okay, because I wanted to just touch on this really quickly. We'll certainly, once the nominees are actually in place, we'll get more into this. But I saw that they announced a couple weeks ago the finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Daryl Revis, Dwight Freeney in there, Chris Johnson, and Joe Thomas.
Oh, yes.
And for me, I think Joe Thomas is the first ballot.
He is.
I was curious to know what you were thinking
four,
of that one.
No doubt.
Especially, it's not a heavy class this year.
Right.
I don't believe that Joe Thomas missed a game, I want to say, in his career. I think it was something like that.
He just dominated left tackle, didn't he?
Man, one of the most dominant left tackles in my lifetime, at least. That's the least I could say about his career, let alone how good I thought he was. And when we want our athletes to be loyal, even though it shouldn't be expected of them, they're mercenaries, really, when it comes down to it. Joe Thomas, whole career, never complained, stayed with that franchise, never even sniffed the playoffs, and you never heard him complain once about it. Just everything you could ask for, and he's been really good on the mic, too.
I heard he was up north fishing in Wisconsin when they extended his contract in Cleveland to make him like one of the highest played players.
I remember that story.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's nice.
and then cast his line. Just